Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is indeed God's house, the house that he's provided for us. And I'll ask you, like Reverend Stanley does every Sunday, are you glad you're a part of the family of God?
Amen.
First off, I do need to apologize for the weather outside. That is my fault. I've been praying all week for snow so church will be canceled. And I don't think I did it right because we got a bunch of rain, but... So sorry for that. If your shoes got muddy, that's on me. I apologize. I'm not going to clean your shoes, but I do apologize. Last week, Bill mentioned that he thinks he was chosen by Jimmy to speak as a process of elimination. I think I was the victim of proximity because I sit at the front row of the deacon's meeting, and when he needed speakers, I'm sure my dumbstruck face was the first one he saw, but... I don't know. He may have thought that I would do an okay job. He may have even thought that you guys would be interested in what I have to say, but I tend to think it was the front row thing. But regardless, he asked me if I would do this after our deacon's meeting on November 1st, and I said, sure, yeah, I can do a sermon in January. It's like 2.5 months away. I can put something together by then. I have never known another 2.5 months to go by so quickly. Maybe it's just me, but that ties in a little bit with what we're going to be talking about today, and our scripture today comes from Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, and I invite you to read along with me as I read aloud if you'd like to. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. May God add his blessing to the reading and studying of his word. Now, as everybody knows, we have a new year. It's underway. We're midway through January. We've got a whole year ahead of us full of potential and opportunities, a big blank canvas just staring us in the face. But at the moment, this morning, I want to talk about last year, and that canvas. If the last year of your life was indeed a painting that you created, what would it look like? And I'm not asking the subject matter, because that's kind of a difficult question. I'm not even asking what materials you used. But I'm asking you to look at the aesthetics, the craftsmanship, technique. Are there big sweeping strokes that were applied with reckless abandon? Are there any unfinished sections? How much attention to detail was given? Did you love every brushstroke that you applied to that canvas? Well, right now, I want to take a moment and look at my own personal painting from last year and do a little evaluation, so just bear with me. I've got it here somewhere. Here we go. Good thing about invisible paintings is they come with invisible easels. We'll just put that right there. Can you see if this is... you good? Okay. Okay. The first thing I notice is that the canvas is a little larger than that dusty thing from 2008. I guess that I was more active. I did more things. Whether it be professionally, I joined some more organizations. Maybe I did some new things recreationally, which we'll talk about a little later. I like to think that I became a little more involved spiritually here. And, you know, it doesn't look bad. I think it's off to a good start. I think it started strong. But, you know, when I look a little closer, there seem to be some areas that maybe weren't treated with the level of attention and detail that I like to give. It doesn't seem like it was finished with the level of craftsmanship that I like. So maybe I was doing so much stuff last year, I spread a little thin, and I didn't get to devote as much attention to each area as I probably should have. But is that a bad thing? I mean, overall, it still looks okay. I'm happy with the things I did and the year itself. Is it a bad thing that maybe I didn't love every brushstroke that I applied? Well, when I was at James Madison studying art, I had a illustration professor by the name of Richard Hilliard, and he told us that if we wanted to make our art the best it could possibly be, we had to love every brushstroke that we applied. This fellow students and I, we had a bit of a habit of, we get to a point in our work where we'd have a momentary lapse in focus, and we would just sort of switch over to autopilot, whether we were working on some shading or maybe filling a tree with leaves, something that maybe we didn't think was that important at the time. We would just kind of go through the motions. And inevitably, when we were done, it always had some sort of impact on the final product. It wasn't bad, per se. It didn't make it worse, but it wasn't as good as it could have been. There was a missed opportunity there for that artwork to reach its full potential. So, how do we apply this thought to our everyday lives? Well, while it may be easy for us to define our days, years, even lives by those bigger events that help shape who we are as people, there are any number of smaller opportunities, everyday occurrences, that fill those gaps within the larger milestones, those milestones that we'll remember for the rest of our lives. There are any number of smaller events during our lives. Let's take a look back at Galatians real quick, chapter 6, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. As we have opportunity. That means every single opportunity the Lord gives us, whether large or small, blatant or obscure, every opportunity. It's up to us to be aware of those opportunities so we can make the most of them when they present themselves. It's up to us to make sure that God shines through when we take advantage of those opportunities. And this isn't the only time we see Paul write on this theme of taking advantage of every opportunity. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, he says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Again, making the most of every opportunity. And again, in his letter to Colossians, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, he says, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Make the most of every opportunity. How do we do that? How do we make the most of every opportunity, whether large or small? I think there are three steps. These are my three steps, taken for what they're worth. I believe the three steps are readiness, identification, and action. The first step, readiness. I think this means more than just being open-minded and cognizant to the fact that opportunities are out there around us, whether large or small. It's more than just knowing that we'll be faced with opportunities. We have to actively seek them out. It's proactive. We have to be looking for them. We can't capitalize on them if we're not looking for them. Not all opportunities slap you in the face and say, "Here I am." We have to look for them, especially the small ones that we're talking about today. It's very easy to miss those. In the same way that artist looks at that canvas and searches for every opportunity to make it the most it can be, we need to do the same thing. We need to be on our toes all the time, looking for the smallest opportunity to make the most of our days, our lives, our years. That's readiness. And it sounds tough, and it is, to be that on point and that aware and actively seeking out opportunities, especially the small ones. But one helpful instrument we have in this, just like anything else, is prayer. We need to pray for the awareness and the energy needed to seek out these opportunities. And that leads us to the second step, which is identification. Being set in our readiness will help us to identify all of life's opportunities. But identifying an opportunity isn't simply acknowledging its existence. There's an opportunity. It's more than that. It's saying there's an opportunity, assessing the circumstances surrounding it, and determining the best course of action on how to follow through. Now, if we don't take our time and determine what the best course of action is for that opportunity, a new opportunity can turn into a blown opportunity very quickly. It's not a missed opportunity. It didn't pass us by completely. We caught it. We just made a mess of it when we did. And that's why we need to, in our step of identification, we need to be successful in determining the best course of action. So how do we properly evaluate the circumstances around an opportunity? How can we know the decisions we're going to make and our actions that we plan are going to be the right ones? I believe it begins with relying on the intuition and the knowledge that we've gained from studying God's Word, coming here to church, and from our fellow Christians. These blessings, along with prayer again, give us the guidance we need when faced with new opportunities. And our last step, action. Action is what we do with the opportunities that we've identified. Here's our chance to execute all those plans we just put into motion. We've identified the opportunity. We've decided on the best course of action. Now we just have to pull the trigger. We have to be brave enough to find out if our decisions and our actions are going to be the appropriate ones. And that can be a little scary. And sometimes even the immediate effect of our decisions aren't realized right at that moment. We have an opportunity. We act on it. We don't know how the outcome is going to be immediately. So what do we do in the meantime? We pray. Prayer. And I think that's a common thread through all these steps is prayer. It's a very strong tool, and we need to keep that in mind and utilize that whenever we can. Now, this morning so far, we've been talking about opportunities in a very generic way. Small opportunities, big opportunities, missed opportunities, blown opportunities, making the most of every opportunity. But what are these specific opportunities in our everyday lives that we need to make the most of? In short, I believe it's any chance that we have to let others see God shining through in our lives. It can be as grand as hosting a missionary in your house. It can be as small as, flashing a smile and extending a cheerful greeting to a stranger who seems to be having a rough day. But for today, we're going to remain focused on the small opportunities. Those small things. Because I'm going to assume everybody here can easily identify and assess life's more obvious opportunities. But how easy is it to get caught up in the day-to-day and we switch over to autopilot like I was talking about and those small opportunities miss us by? We miss those small chances to make a profound impact in somebody else's life or in our lives, even if we don't know it at the time. That carrying a smile around, opening a door, making a quick phone call to a loved one, those are all those small opportunities to make a big impact, small opportunities to let God shine through in our lives. So why so much emphasis on these trivial occurrences? Can something so small really make a big difference? I'm going to share a couple stories with you, and I'm sure everybody here has had some sort of time in their life where a seemingly small thing has had a huge impact. Now, these are kind of a last thing, so if I fumble these stories, forgive me, but I have the floor, ha ha ha. When I was an intern at the first studio I worked at, one of the designers there was working on an ad for a school. It was going to run in a big publication. It was a big deal for everybody, and it got approved, and it was going to be sent to the publication. Everybody was happy. And the designer went in, and in his preparations, one letter, in one word, in this entire ad, got deleted somehow. And while he didn't know, it wasn't on purpose, obviously, but that one letter missing turned into a typo in an ad for a school talking about how thorough they are and how good their educational prowess is. They have a typo, a misspelling in their ad. So that one mistake, that one letter ended up costing the firm probably tens of thousands of dollars to reprint this ad in this publication. And so that's one professional occurrence. I also have a little personal story. I'm going to throw this out here now just to wake up some of the guys. I don't want any heads drooping, so I'm going to throw this out there. Again, didn't plan this, so I don't know how this is going to go. But for the last 4 months, I've been training to be a professional wrestler. That is not a joke. Get it all out of your system. All right. And no, the long hair is just a coincidence. That's not why I grew my hair long. But right now I'm on the ring crew. And this entire ring, this is not a joke, seriously, this entire ring that these 300-pound guys are going to be jumping around on is one of the most important steps is a cross cable that goes around the bottom. And they're held together with these little U-bolts. And they counter-tension the tension of the rope since they're so tight. And if one of those U-bolts slips, they're not tight, the second one of those big burly guys hits the ropes, the whole thing is going to collapse. The whole ring is going to collapse. So you're talking about this big production, fans in the seats, wrestlers ready to throw each other around. One bolt can bring the entire thing to a screeching halt. And I'm sure everybody has some story like that. Everybody has some occurrence where they've seen one small thing that may seem trivial can make a huge difference. Maybe for the negative. Mostly for the negative. Has anybody ever heard of the term, God is in the details? No? Anybody? Good. Awesome. While that quote is attributed to numerous individuals, one of the most notably, one of the most notable ones it's credited to is Ludwig van der Rohe, a German-American architect who was born in 1886 and died in 1969. He built the first glass and steel skyscraper, very influential individual. And so he is one of the ones credited with the term, with the quote, God is in the details. And for many architects, designers, and other creative professionals like myself, they recall this quote when they're working to remind themselves that even the smallest design decision can have a profound impact on what they're working on. And like most designers who pride themselves on their attention to detail, I used to recite it often as well. It's, you know, one of my favorite quotes or whatever. But it wasn't until I started working on the sermon that I realized I actually have a little bit of a problem with this quote. I started thinking about it. God is in the details. That quote puts the emphasis on details. God is in the details. God is just an instrument in that quote to illustrate how important the details are. God is in the details. I think it's the other way around. I think God is in the details. But the details are there to show how truly pervasive God is. God is everywhere. God's in the small actions we take. He's in that phone call. He's in that smile. He is in the details. God is in the details. But that is truly how powerful God is. And that is what He is everywhere. He is in the details. He's in every one of our deeds and actions, no matter how small or insignificant they may seem to us. But it is up to us to make sure that everybody can see the details. It's up to us to make sure He's visible. Our actions have to let God shine through, even those detailed actions, those little mundane things in our lives that we may switch over to autopilot and forget about. It's up to us to let everybody see God in the details. And while that may sound like hard work, making sure that God is in every detail, every mundane detail of our life that we may not even think about. That may sound like a lot of hard work. It is a lot of hard work. It's tough. But if we revisit our scripture, the first verse from our scripture today, we read, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." So it will be tough. It's going to be real tough. We need to pray for continued strength. We need to pray for those three steps. We need to pray for readiness. We need to pray for our ability to be able to identify and act on all of life's little opportunities. But I can tell you, if we remain steadfast in our crusade to let the Lord shine through in all the things that we do, we will indeed reap a harvest. If we remain steadfast, all of those images that we leave behind after we're gone, our loved ones will look on. They will be done with such skill and craftsmanship that our loved ones and those around us will look on those in awe, and they will draw inspiration from them. And as beautiful as those images will be, It's nothing compared to the harvest we're going to reap in heaven. And it all starts here at this church. It starts by developing your relationship with the Lord. It starts by discovering the ways in which he wants us to live. Another quick side note, if you guys were listening to Bill last week, he referenced Mark chapter 16, verses 15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." He said that he has a version where it says, "as you go." I like that because it ties into what I'm talking about. And that's, nobody is telling us to go and do this. It's not a destination that we're going towards. It's a journey. It's as we go. As we go out, look for these opportunities. We're not heading towards some destination. We're not going to do something. We're living our lives, and these opportunities are going to present themselves. It's up to us to identify them. And like I said, it all starts here. It starts by discovering the ways the Lord wants us to live. And if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we invite you to do that here today. We invite you to become equipped with the tools to make the most of every opportunity and find out the ways in which he wants us to live. Find out the ways in which we can let God shine through in all of our actions, no matter how small. If you want to do that today, we invite you to come forward. I'll be up here. I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you. Just please come forward as we sing our invitation hymn, which I do not have ready. Hymn number 316, Jesus is Tenderly Called.